Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All About Entrepreneurs. We're excited that you decided to tune in to the show today. Heard every weekday morning at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and 6 a.m. Central Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. Well, we want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out. We want you to get ready to take lots of notes. We want you to go to another level in your life because it's all about entrepreneurs. Well, we have exciting guests who will come and teach you the strategies, the tips, the tools for you to be successful at life, at work, at school, and in your business. And now your host, the power coach, Lalisa, and the possibilities coach, Cassandra.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome. It's like we're having some technological difficulties here. So let's just see. Hold on 1 second. We'll see what's going on. Okay. Having a bit of a problem loading the page. So let's just see if I can get a message in. Well, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome. Okay. Let's see. Well, you know what they say about technology. It's great. It'll do some wonderful things when you want it to, right? However, don't get too dependent because, listen, you know, it's not perfect, I should say. And it makes good sense that it's not perfect because neither are we, right? So human beings make machines, and the computer is certainly a machine. And so if an imperfect being can make something to be perfect, well, that would be interesting to see how that works. So we aren't able to do that. However, we are still here. And so because we're still here, we're still able to go on with the show, but for some reason I cannot pull up the page for Blog Talk Radio. So there's a connection problem for some reason. It told me to try again. I tried again and again and again and again. That's not working. I'm trying to get a hold of the co-host to see if she can also sign in using some tools that she also has, because it's not letting me in whatsoever. I'm not able to get in, but I do want to say good morning. There are some wonderful things happening. And again, welcome, welcome, welcome. Oh, I see Dr. Gerald Higginbotham just posed a comment on Facebook. What is your personal vision in life? What is your personal vision in life? And then some of you who were on Facebook yesterday, you see I posted a comment, and I said I was going to tell you a little bit more about it today on this show. So hopefully we'll get everything straightened out here. And now Coach Cassandra is calling me. And yes, I am right. Yes, I... Yes, I cannot. If you are at your computer, you can sign in and see, because it's not letting me connect, so I can't pull anyone in. The only thing I could do is, I'm live right now, so can you hear the show? Yes, can you hear? I mean, I'm talking right now on the show. The show is live, and I'm talking to you. We can hear you. Well, we can hear me talking to you. Can't you hear me? No, you cannot. Okay. Can hear? Oh, yes, they can. They can hear you, so... go right ahead. Take it away.
Good morning. It's Skinner Cat, right? Listen, I heard an awesome quote by Paul White last night. It says, prepare for where you're going, not for where you've been. All right? He says, don't let your past stop you, because what God has for you, he has purpose for you. So whatever has gone on in the past, do not to let that affect your future. And I know we've heard something similar to that before. So just a reminder, keep it moving, keep on going. And I know a lot of times people are caught up in guilt and condemnation. But if you have truly repented, there is no more condemnation. So kick it to the curb. And keep on going. I got so tickled because the other day, Lethea invited 18 business women to her home, and she said, "You know what? Sometimes you just have to kick the rock." Is what is the term she used? Kick the rock. The things you have no control over, the things that you know were hindrances. You know, just let it go. Kick the rock. Keep it moving.
Wow, yeah.
That's a good way to say, you know, we were saying, remember, kick it, power up and kick it.
Yes,
so
yes.
That's what you got to do, power yes. up and just kick it and keep on moving, baby. Keep it moving.
Yes.
All right.
Yes, yes. And, you know, Coach Cassandra, the technology, for some reason, Facebook page just won't load. So we can't, and this is the morning that we want to open up people's phone lines, and I have no way to get to their phone lines because I cannot open the page. And so I was just wondering.
Well, they can inbox you if they have a question or want to make a comment or something, right?
They could, absolutely.
Yeah, because I know David is supposed to come on and make some comments about that great article that they wrote about him in one of the Atlanta newspapers. I was just so proud of him. My God, you talk about a story from rags to riches. You know, I really wanted him to be able to tell us, but just to tell you a little bit about David Knight, who is the CEO of Christian Social Network, and we're just so proud to be affiliated with this great man of God. And basically, his father and mom, there were seven of them, and his mom, she really wanted to, you know, conquer her dreams and visions. So she literally left her family, left all the children with the dad. And so David was raised by his father. And it was very, very difficult. And but the thing is, you know, God turned all of that around. And he said when he had his first child, who was a daughter, it just really softened his heart. Because I guess he got hardened because of all the situations that had happened in his life. And he said his little girl is what brought him to Jesus. to come to church. Daddy, come to church. You gotta come to church. And when he came to church, it's the day he accepted Christ, and he said he hasn't stopped since. And I just thought, wow, what a wonderful, wonderful story. And then he went on to talk about Miracle Mondays and how all about entrepreneurs and, you know, come alongside, you know, assist. And I just thought it was just such a great story. I think the flash of David Knight. We hope that you can make your, if you have any comments or questions, make them, you know, inbox Lisa or myself. We just really wanted to hear from you today. But, yeah, just a wonderful story about his family, how he got started with a Christian social network that basically he saw so many non-positive things, you know, derogatory comments on a lot of these different social networks, that even some of the so-called, I guess, Christian social networks, I guess they had a different name, not necessarily to have Christian in the title. And he said that was the impetus that made him start the Christian social network, because if you don't like something, you need to do something about it.
Mm.
And that's what he did. He just went ahead and, you know, started up something 9 months ago.
Mm.
So, I think David was about the six-month marker when we met him.
Wow.
6 months marker, so.
Wow.
Probably about 5 months, but it's just it's such a pleasure to get to know him. He's even had his son do a shout-out on the show. So, we just praise God for the man of God just, you know, being highly esteemed in that article. Yeah, I think I sent that to you, Coach, on possibly Tuesday, I believe, last article, but it is on his page. If you go to David's page, you'll see it.
Yeah, I would,
yeah. Helpful. Yeah, I did. Atlanta, the Atlanta newspaper. So, yeah, the reporter actually met him in a coffee shop, and they really kicked it off, and just a great article, just, you know, applauding him, what he's doing, and basically putting his money where his mouth was. You know, you don't like something, do something about it. Make something happen. And that's exactly what he did. So he is definitely a great inspiration on the show. So you all can hear him on Mondays when he comes on and talks about Miracle Monday and updates on social media. So we applaud the man of God and all the inroads he's making to make a difference in the world. That's what it's all about. It's about making a difference, you know? You see something you don't like, well, you do something about it. You know, stand up to the plate, step up to the plate, and believe God will use you to make a difference, make an impact in the world. You know, that might just be in your own neighborhood, you know, but do something. So it's exciting to see someone take something and run with it, just like you have with this racial broadcast. Lalisa, Coach Lalisa, you've done a wonderful thing and provided an awesome opportunity for so many entrepreneurs. If you all have been listening to the show, you can just hear some of the most awesome guests and magic right here.
And you know, and one of the things, some of the most successful things that has happened over the past, I would say, well, since 2005, is that from the very first radio show, we've birthed out so many radio show hosts. There are at least 15 individuals that had never done a radio show, had never done a radio before, and they were guests on the show, and as a result of that, they have very thriving radio shows today. One lady is so successful, I'll never forget, I literally had to beg her. I won't give her name, but I had to beg her to be a guest. I had to beg her several times. She was so shy, so nervous, so scared, but yet in her heart, it was something she had wanted to do for so long. She finally came to the studio. This is when I was down at Harvest Radio. Finally got her down there. And do you know, today, she is a news anchor, okay? She is a
news... Wow!
Yes, I kid you not. She's a news anchor. She went from...
being a guest and coming on the show. When she came on the show, when she sat in that studio, she had a transformation. And she went back. She continued doing the work that she was doing. She was doing real estate. And she told her husband, because we were talking about it. We were friends before that. I had been knowing her for a while. And I never knew she had an aspiration to be a radio person. I just was looking for guests, and I figured, you know, she, you know, I was getting to be pretty much anybody to be a guest on the show. That was one scenario, and she went from there, and then she did some other things, and eventually now she's an anchor on a news broadcast. Another young lady, same thing, had to beg her to be a guest on the show. Today she has a thriving show. I mean, I got stories after stories after stories. Some of you know, I know Kiva won't mind me sharing her, Kiva Renee, who has a very popular radio show. Kiva, I remember when she was a guest on the show. Pastor Rebecca Simmons, I can share her because she'll tell everybody she wasn't thinking about radio. And she came on, she's a guest, and she went on to have a very popular radio show for many years, and she had a huge following because she is a pastor, and she would reach people all around the world, and she had them. And there are many, many, many other people. So one of the types of people that we've birthed out have definitely been radio show hosts, and then authors. Same thing. So there's individuals who, if you want to write a book, or if you want to write a book, you want to start your own radio show, you need to inbox me. You need to contact me. One lady contacted me because she had always wanted to do radio, but she had a drug problem. She was on drugs and she couldn't, you know, get off drugs. But she always wanted to be a radio show person, right? So she had gotten clean a time or two and things would go good, but then somehow she'd get caught back out there. Well, somebody knew me, who knew her. She was living down in Florida. They contacted me and I talked with her. So I actually used helping her start her own radio show as a therapeutic concept to get her off the drugs. And it worked for a little while. I don't know where she is today, but we took her through the whole process, helped her come up with a name for her show, help her get it marketed, get it out there. But one thing I know, she lived her dream because that was something she had wanted to do since she was around 8. When I met up with her, she was about 35. So I'm comfortable enough to, I'm confident enough to know that even if she fell back off the wagon, she's done it and she can do it again, you know. And so I know when I first quit smoking cigarettes, I didn't, you know, it took me several tries before I eventually quit altogether. So some people, they think that because they fall back down, I think that's why a lot of people love Johnny McKirk and song so much. We fall down, but we get up. We fall down, but we get back up again. And Les Brown made it famous. He made it famous telling people, if I get knocked down, I make sure I fall on my back. Because if I can look up, I can get up. He made it famous on some other sayings, but he never took the mic without saying that in his early days. And that gave people, and this is before Donnie McKirk had made the song, but he would let people know, when you fall down, he would tell people, you're gonna fall down, let's face it. That's if you're getting anywhere. You know, and I understood it because when I was a teenager, I wanted to learn how to roller skate. And when I would go with my friends, they were all good at it because they had been doing it for years and years. And I wanted to just be like them, really good at it. And they told me, well, you got to fall in order to be good. Because I would be out there so scared to skate that because I didn't want to fall. And they would tell me, but if you don't fall, you're not going to get good. And so let's go. And let's... You got it.
courage.
Yeah, you got to be.
Yeah, they don't preach. My God.
Yes, you have to be willing to fall.
You won't get good.
But, and that's why, you know, you have these people like your John C. Maxwell and what have you talking about the failing forward and what have you, because people like that, successful people know that failure is a part of the plan. Failure is a part of the plan. Falling is a part of the plan. Les Brown, and then he came around and said it one more time, but if you can look up, you can get up. And so he made it famous on that. And then I added to that and said, I'm getting up regardless. I'm getting up. Listen, we're going to get up. If we can't look up, we're going to still get up, because getting up is what we do.
We are
experts. Jesus got up. And because he got up, everybody can get up that wants to get up. Anybody that wants to get up can get up because he got up. When he got up, he didn't just get up by himself. He brought the power. He gave us the power of getting up. And so when we have hard times, when we have troubles, we don't focus on the trouble, because what we focus on, we make big. So we don't focus on the trouble, but we focus on the getting up, because what we focus on, we make big. Now, I learned that some years ago from a motivational speaker, I may have learned it from a preacher, but same thing, right, in a lot of cases.
And
I'm sure it's a scripture as well, but because the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. But what we focus on, we make big in our lives. So if you focus on the getting up, don't focus on the falling down. That's what a lot of people do. That's why they end up staying down, because they focus on where they're at. But yes, we live in the moment, but we focus on what we got to do. You know, because Andrea, I said I was at the graduation. I told the graduates, you got to get down, but don't let nobody bring you down. See, there's a difference. You know, we used to, back in the day, you got to get down. That was a cool thing to do, was to get down, you know. you got to get down to business, right? We got to get down to business. It's time to get down to business. But don't let nobody bring you down. So you got to be down, but yet and still be able to get up. So there are a lot of concepts, you know, going around. But I tell you, Coach Cassandra, I'll check Facebook and see if anyone. And I don't know, for some reason, studio does not want to open for me today, and that's unfortunate.
You know what I say? When things are not going the way I think they should go, they're going exactly the way God wants them to go. I have learned that, you know, that when I think it's falling apart, I can't do this.
That's right, guys. That's right, Coach Cassandra.
The way I'm planning it to go. And, you know, sometimes he throws a monkey wrench in just to see if you know how to swim, see if you know how to reach up. Like, instead of you down, we reach back up again. It's going to be all right. You know, we're going to have breakthrough. You have breakthrough when you think you've broken through. When you believe in your heart, you can go forth and do all things through Christ. Because, see, he is the one that is orchestrating all of this. He is the big conductor. You know, we want to conduct everything. We want to have everything done perfectly. But I'm telling you, sometimes it's in the imperfections that I see the perfection. That I see the supernatural of Jesus Christ. You know, if we didn't need miracles, we wouldn't need him. Because if we could do everything all right all the time, why would we need a savior of the universe? I need God. Right now we need you, Father. We invite you in, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. To have your way. This is your kingdom work. This is your plan all about entrepreneurs. And so, Father, you said we acknowledge you in all our ways. You will direct our path. So you're directing this. And we go with the flow of Jesus Christ. Because as we remember, the first two letters of God are go, G-O. Our goal leads us to God. So you know what? Whatever we're doing right now, Coach, Melissa, it's all good. It's all God. It's all good. I'm happy about it. You know what I'm saying? You just got to know that sometimes God allows these things to see if you know how to swim. You know what I'm saying?
Girl.
Girl, I said, see, because what does a mother, a bird, do when she wants to teach her little bird, her little chirp, how to fly? She pushes them out the nest. So this is our time to fly, Coach. We're soaring right now in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Oh, whatever, you look at it, right? You read your perspective. Praise God.
Well, yes.
I love them.
I know, right? God is so good. And so today is Friday, open mic, and this is open mic. We don't have a set guest. We don't have a formal guest today. So we wanted you to call in and be that guest. And you can't call in, but you can write in. So you can write on Facebook. You can inbox a question to me at Coach Lilisa Williams. That is my Facebook, my official Facebook name, Coach Lilisa Williams. I can see your comment or question, or you can post it on our All About Entrepreneurs page on Facebook. So you just go to facebook.com/AAE, All About Entrepreneurs, and you can post it there. I will check that page as well. But Coach Cassandra, you have an exciting event coming up on this month, June the 20th.
Yeah. I certainly do, and I'm glad that's a great segue, because that's what I wanted to mention when you were talking about getting up and moving forward and all those great things you were just saying, that getting up is what we do. I love that. Getting up is what we do. That would be a great tagline or a slogan. But I'm having a prayer event on 28th, which is a Saturday in the St. Louis, Missouri area. If you're going to be here, we'd love to have you come along. But the theme of the event is Arise. I kept putting that word in my spirit in May, Arise. And you know how God gives you something and you start letting it churn and letting it go over your heart, your mind. And God let me look up that word, Arise. It means to come into being. To come into being. It also means to take advantage of an opportunity. It means to move upward, to move forward, to proceed. So God, that's what he wants us to do. And my scripture theme is Matthew 17:7, where Jesus touched them and said, Arise. And don't be afraid, because see, as we go, as we're doing what we do, and God has told us to do this and to do that, you know, he's told us to arise, you know, and I believe that means to arise, and you're thinking, arise from the place that you're at, you know, arise and moving toward what he's told you to do. We become afraid. God told us to fear not, and there's a reason he told us to fear not, because he knows so many times, and even yesterday when I with one of the vendors, and it's funny, we're talking about, you know, how you said God has blessed you to talk to people who wanted to become, you know, the radio, and they were fearful, and a lady yesterday I spoke to, she was talking about how she just has had fear in so many areas of her life, and then I said, well, I can hear, you know, that you have the ability to be a good radio announcer. I can hear that in your voice, you know. And she says, oh, no, I can't do it. I said, well, tell me what you do in life. And she got to talking. She's a Sunday school superintendent. She makes presentations. She's got a job, and she's just going on and on. I got so tickled. I said, well, God has already prepared you, woman of God, to do the next thing.
Yes.
She said, oh, my goodness, you know, the revelation just kind of hit her once I started talking about it. That's how God has prepared us, or is about to prepare us. But all we can think of is, I can't do that. What would happen, Coach, if we would start saying, I can do that, even if you have no inkling how that can be possible? What if we just started changing our vocabulary and say, you know, maybe I don't do it or haven't done it, but I could do it. Because if we believe that all things are possible through Christ, we came through it with that mindset, with that concept, you know, God would help us to do so much more. We're so busy saying, I can't. But if we will arise, God wants us to come into something that we have not come in before. And if you remember, fear has two meanings. I'm sure it has more, but I found this little slogan, and it says, for the word fear, it's like an acronym. F is for forget, E, everything, and the A for and R for run. It says forget everything and run, because, you know, all you see makes you fearful, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Or the fear, F-E-A-R, face everything and rise up. Knowing God before you, and that no weapon formed against you can prosper. Knowing up, rise up, knowing that the setback is just a comma and not a period. But if you just said, God, I'm going to watch you be God in my life and do something I don't know how to do, I believe God will create a platform just because you have the faith to go forward. And that's what he's done for you, Coach Felisa. It's what he's done for me, because I had the faith to believe God. And even when I was a student in college, Coach Felisa, I had an opportunity to be a talk show host on a, what do you think you call those shows? When you're not on primetime TV.
Local?
Huh?
Well, like a local?
Yeah, it was a local show. It was a local show. And as a result of being in the show, God blessed me to make headlines in the newspaper twice. Well, wait a minute. One was a headline, one was an inside story. They both were inside stories, but you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
One was out after. The newspaper.
Right.
And who would have ever believed that little old me would be on, a major newspaper, at least in that city? I mean, just absolutely. And what was so funny, the woman of God, who was very outgoing and outstanding in the community, she was on a radio show at that time, she said that a TV opportunity, it came to her, and she never took it.
Wow.
She told me I should take it.
Wow.
So I decided to go in and do something I have never done before.
Well,
and even the college president, we had a black provost at that time. God blessed me to be able to interview him.
Yes, okay. We're going to get Coach Cassandra back. We seem to have lost her for a moment, but we will get her back. She will be dialing back in, and she will be able to finish. Oh, there you are. Hold on, Coach Cassandra. We can't hear you.
That was after I had already did a few shows. And all she said was, oh, you're doing fine. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I thought she'd say, but she said, oh, you're doing fine. It's wonderful what you're doing. And God is awesome. Do you hear me? I stepped out and did something I had no earthly idea that I could even do, All I can tell you is that my mother was the fulfillment of my mother's desire.
Mm.
She used to tell me when I was young, why don't you get into radio and TV? And, I can see you doing TV. And I had no idea where that even came from, because that wasn't even in my mother's background.
Mm.
She was a good kid, and so was my dad. And so it's just funny that... she just spoke that thing when I was, 18, coming out of college, and I actually did look into radio, and I just thought, oh, I don't know about all that to me. You think that's for somebody else. And then when I finally did go to college, I took some college classes right after high school, but it really didn't hold my interest. So when I finally did go on and pursue it in my late 20s, I think 26, 27, before I finally really, kind of settled down and went to college, and then God started presenting these opportunities. Even though my major was education, he opened some opportunities for me to do some things with television. I was on my friend's radio station, but, I just was amazed at God, and here I am.
Here you are again. Yeah, here you are again. And I said, God, you put me around all these people that they're doing great. Then my sister, I end up getting my sister involved. I had to rope her in, let me tell you. It was a hard nut to crack to get her, Beverly Carter, my sister, my baby, she's only 18 months younger than me, but she's still my baby sister. But to get that, I mean, she's very, very old. She's ultra conservative, and I'm more wild. I'm the wild one. We're twins. We always say we're twins. We've been saying that since we were like, you know, little girls. My mom always dressed us alike. We thought we were twins. We really didn't know that. I thought maybe, you know, and maybe that's why I didn't do well in school, because I was trying to get set back so I could be in her grade, because she was two grades behind me. You know, subconsciously, children do these kinds of things. I know people think that's crazy. Well, you'd be surprised. You might want to check your children and see what they're doing, because kids come up with the I'm not a child psychologist, but I know enough to know children come up with the craziest notions that a lot of times.
Yeah.
A lot of times these parents are clueless. Parents are absolutely clueless about the things that are going on in their children's mind. And I, after working College Bound for 4 years dealing with seventh graders, what I learned, because since I've never, you know, birthed a child myself and had to raise one, I've had to rely on other women that have raised children. And what somebody eventually told me is that, because I couldn't figure it out, I'm like, why are these parents totally clueless to how these children behave when they come here? And then the person let me know that because the child projects a different image to the parent. So that's what the parent thinks the child is like that all the time. And I was like, oh, okay, I got you. But, you know, I had, you know, allowed them to be themselves because I want to know who you really are so I'll know what to give you. But anyway, so that's a whole other show we could do at another time. But this sister that I had to eventually rope her in, right, and I finally did, right, it took a while. And now we've been on the air together for about 7 years. We've been doing Sisters in the Spirit every Sunday at 6 p.m., every Sunday without fail. And I thought, you know, she's not going to do this because, you know, growing up, that was always the running joke in my household is that I would make her do things. I wanted to stay out late. I'd make her stay out late with me. I'd want to skip school. I'd make her skip with me. You know, I love her to death. She did pretty much anything I asked her to do. And so today she still does what I ask her to do. She's a sweetheart. But, yeah, we've been on the air now 7 years, every Sunday at 6. And there are Sundays when I'm not there because I'm speaking or traveling. She'll host a show. And I thought, I'll never get her to work the switchboards. Never. No, she's very smart and could do it all. Just, you know, she could do it, but I just figured she ain't going to do that. She knows how to work the switchboard. She knows how to sign in. Some of y'all know her. Some of you met her in person. If you haven't met her, tune in on Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you will get to experience Beverly K. Carter. She's doing big things. I can't tell you right now because it's still being prepared, but she is my sister, and she's doing big things, not just on the radio, but she's on a big project that's going to be launched sometime in August or September. I can't wait to tell you about it. She's traveled to Africa. We said we'll have her come on, tell us about that mission trip that she's done. That she's been to Africa twice on a powerful mission trip to Kenya. She also has a network on the internet. It's called Hotspot for Jesus. That's her baby, Hotspot for Jesus, because she is on fire for the Lord. So we'll have her come on another day and talk about that. It's a website where people can go for all kinds of things, and so we'll have her come on and talk about that. But, yep, she's my little sister. She's doing big things. She has a book out called The Epistle of Healing. God healed her miraculously from a horrible disease, and so one day she'll come on and talk about that. And once God healed her, she wrote a little book that she offers for free to anybody who wants to experience a miraculous healing, and it's called The Epistle of Healing. And so we'll have her come on one day, Coach Cassandra, and tell us all about it. But that's what's going on. Now, I didn't lose you, did I? Okay, I think Coach Cassandra is still here. So, here, there you are. Okay, we can't hear you, but all right. So, like Coach Cassandra said, you know, we just keep moving on. But I tell somebody, if you want something you've never had before, you've got to do something that you've never done before. Because everybody knows if you always do what you've always done, you'll always have what you have right now. Yeah, that's right. If you always do what you've always done, you'll always have what you have right now. And I don't know who originated that quote, but I like to tell people, if you want something that you've never had before, it requires you to do something that you've never done before.
Absolutely.
Yes, do something that you've never done to get something that you've never had. And so
I know that's true. That is so true, Coach.
You got to.
Yeah. Yeah. As a matter of fact, let me just say, you mentioned too, you know, next Tuesday is our evening show, Power Up Your Possibilities, and one of the speakers is Manly Feinberg. He has climbed the tallest mountains in the world, and he has the show, I should say, international speaker, goes all over the world talking about elevate, how we need to elevate our thinking and elevate everything we do, basically going to the next level, and how that's given him so many thoughtful life applications because he's climbed these tremendous mountains. I'm sure, Coach, you're probably going to have that flyer out this weekend for Power Up Your Possibilities. That's our evening show that we do once a month, and both of the people are doing things that they had never in life thought they would be able to do or want to do. The other woman, Sarah Centralia, was the woman who, like we've heard so many times, housewife, taking care of her children, married her high school sweetheart, and found out he was cheating. She had no idea. When she confronted him, he left. She said she didn't even have access to bank accounts, any of that. And she said after she got through crying for weeks and weeks, she finally pulled herself up by her bootstraps and said, I'm going to make it. Started a blog, Coach, just to talk about her life, just to talk about things that were going on. It was therapeutic. She couldn't afford to go see a counselor or whatever. And the following started with this blog. And here she is, I think it's, 10 years later. May not be that many, I think maybe 6 or 7 years later. She's writing a book, and she's been on the Steve Harvey Show. She's been on some other key shows. People have written about her, and her new book is called Hustle. I can't think of the rest of the title, but basically she says it's about the hustle, getting up, getting going, no matter what you've been dealt in life, you got to, basically keep it moving. So I'm really excited about these two folks that are going to be on next week, and so we'll have that flyer out soon, folks. Well, Power Up Your Possibilities, and we're planning to do that on Tuesday again. Should I say the Google Hangout? Coach, I don't know if you talked to Audrey, but she's looking to talk with us Saturday at 10, and I hope you're available 10 o'clock your time for just a short period, trying to make sure we've worked out all the kinks so we can have an awesome show on next Tuesday evening. The Power Up Your Possibilities. So we won't be doing teleseminar. We'll be doing Google Hangout. So if you get on your computer, you'll be able to join in with us. So we're really excited about that. That's just opening up so many more possibilities. We reach toward doing the next thing and the next thing and the next thing, and he's just connecting the dots. So I'm so excited about that, Coach. And
yes,
knowing that some great things in store for us as we continue to go beyond what we think we can do, I mean, gosh, a Google Hangout. where we can see each other over the internet. That is so cool to me. It really is.
I know that's right. I know that's right. Yes, God is opening doors here, there, and everywhere, I tell you. And, you know, we as entrepreneurs, we have to, you know, keep moving. And network. Networking is something that can just be like it's your everyday. A lot of times I know people, I remember when people would, you know, go and try to learn how to network, but, you know, just do it. Just meet people, be nice to people, help people. That's networking. I find that helping people is the greatest networking activity you can do. And so, because we know what you make happen for others, God is going to make happen for you. And people will remember you quicker when you help them than anything else. I know I remember every single person that's ever helped me do anything, you know, every time. And so helping people goes a long way. And they may never come to you and tell you thank you. They may never send you a thing of flowers, but it doesn't mean that they've forgotten, okay? And when God will allow the opportune time for your service to come back to you. Because even if a person forgets what you did, God will never forget. He has perfect recording equipment. His equipment never fails. He'll never forget. You know, a lot of times people won't do things for people because they think that, you know, they may not get this or that or whatever. But with God, you don't do it because of what people can do for you. You do it because what God is going to do for you. When you help others, God is the one. He says promotions don't come from the north, south, east, or the west. They come from Him. Him and Him alone. And so, you know, as we're helping people, God is going to help us. And that's why you can rest assured of that. That's a principle, universal law, biblical principle, whatever you want to call it. But God is the one who's going to make it happen. So, you know, I love that part about him, Coach Cassandra. He always sees what you do, and so you can help anybody you want because you're learning. I look at it as a way to learn. You know, when you help somebody do something, you're learning. You're learning how to do it yourself. You're either learning. Yeah, and you may not want to do it, so fine. But you may not want to do it, but you're still learning something. You know, when I remember one job I had, and I used to be so close to the supervisor. And like all my jobs when I was working, I always got very close to my supervisors. I loved my supervisors. I was one of those employees that, I just learned, I guess, growing up in the home, my mom was a supervisor on her job, and so I just always thought that was, you know, a respectful thing or whatever. So when I got a job, that's the one person I never disrespected was the supervisor. But I always watched them because, you know, God, you know, he just showed me that that's, you know, one day, you'll be there and you need to know what to do. So I'm putting you firsthand in these people so you can see, right? Same thing in the church. A lot of times pastors will have those people, they might call them their armor bearers or whatever they call them. These people who get to see the inner workings. It's like even in the TV industry, in the entertainment industry, you have those people behind the scenes. But what happens? Years later, those people that were behind the scenes, they know everything. So they typically will go and do their own thing. Many movie directors, a lot of them were actors and actresses, but they were special because they probably didn't just perform, they probably also watched, okay, and was watching and looking and paying attention, not just coming on the set and doing their part. Same thing on the job. You know, you want to be an entrepreneur? Don't just go to work and complain about how horrible your job is and how much you hate it and how much you're ready to go.
No, you're on the job to watch and look and listen to what the entrepreneur is doing, because the company you're working for, the person who started it, is an entrepreneur.
All right.
Whether you're working at IBM or you're working down the street at the dollar store, the person that started the business or running the company is the CEO. Either they're the, so if you want to be a CEO, the best place to start is by working for someone else and watching them. And what and if you come clean with them and let them know, I'm watching you because I want to do this one day, they're going to show you everything then. Then they'll show you everything. They were going to show you everything before, but they were going to do it not in a systematic formatted structure way. But if you let them know, I want to do this one day, they're going to probably give you a booklet. Here's the instructions right here, you know. You want to open your own daycare center? Go get a job at a daycare. That's what I was taught as a, what I was taught about entrepreneurship back in the day, 30 years ago, was that you want to be an entrepreneur, go work where you want to, what you want to do, and watch. You want to start your own, nonprofit organization? Go work for a nonprofit. You want to start your own college? You know, when I got ready to start my own university, it was easy because I had worked in a university, but I didn't just work there. I paid attention to what was happening around you. You want to start a bakery? Why don't you go get your job? Go get a job at Dunkin' Donuts. Work there for a while. I know people say, I don't want to work at Dunkin' Donuts. Well, you're only going there because you're there to learn. See, people who want to be entrepreneurs, one thing you have to know is that it's the easiest thing to do. It's not hard to do, but it's complicated. It ain't hard, but it's complicated. So you have to go. Yes, you have to go and you have to learn from the people that are already doing it. I was told some years ago by a motivational speaker, success leaves clues.
Oh, I love that. Say that again, Coach.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Success leaves clues. And so I learned that about 15 years ago from a speaker. We were at a huge conference in Puerto Rico when I was working in the college, and every year we had to go to a big conference, and every other year it would be in Puerto Rico. So one of the times we were there, the speaker was a person who was actually from New Jersey. They flew into Puerto Rico to speak at this conference on how to be successful at the programs that we were running. And I was running the college-bound program at the time. But he says that there. He said, success leaves clues. So you got to be around the successful people. And they're giving you clues. To give you clues on how to do it.
I heard. Remember Jackie Kennedy Onassis?
Mm-hmm.
She said that if she were a poor person and didn't have a penny to her name, she said she would go to the most expensive restaurant in town, and if all she could do was sit there and drink a glass of water, you know, go in like she was going to order and just sit there and just sip on the water and look at the menu as if she, you know, were going to order. She said, I would just listen to the conversations of people.
Mm-hmm.
She said, you would just be amazed. And you never know. Someone might see you and take an interest in you.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I didn't have that happen to me, Coach.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember even as a college student. You know, I would just be hanging around. A college professor, you know, God would touch on his heart and say something to me. And before you know it, a conversation got started, and the college professor would say something to encourage me or motivate me. And because I was the first one to go to college in my family. And, you know, even though my dad took a few courses, you know, I really basically, when it came time to go to college, I filled out the paperwork. I had to figure out how to do all this. And, you know, I'm in college all by myself thinking, gosh, can I really do this? And God would use my professors to encourage me to speak know, because the professor said this, the professors, teachers, people were preaching to them. They are, I see why they pay them such large amounts of money. You can say a word, just one word.
One word.
Revolutionize someone's life.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. And people that get paid this money, I say they're worth every penny. Because when we get up here coaching, they're paying us, to, you know, and I said big money, I mean $50,000 in one setting, okay? It's 30. I would be happy with $20,000 in one setting. But the point is, you know, when you, you know, then have the ability to hone in your craft and to speak life into people and to move and mesmerize the crowd, you are worth, you know, your weight in gold. You really are, because it really, and, you know, as since God has been allowing me to sit under, you know, some great people and hear them speak, you know, I can see, like you said, success leaves clues. I'm beginning to draw in what it is that they do, how they just speak from their heart, they're authentic. You know, there is no monkey business out here. This is real life. We're living, Social Lisa and I, before you. We love what we do. We love the opportunity, you know, to go and speak life, whether it's in a college setting or at a church or at a conference. That's such a privilege. And, you know, if you guys, if you haven't heard Social Lisa, this woman is a firecracker. You want to hear her. She still makes your offer as a speaker. Sometimes she sends around her clippings of different events she's spoken at, and you can hear the passion, you can hear the fire in this woman.
Well, you know what?
Wait a minute, Oprah Winfrey, move over, baby, move over.
Well, you know what, Coach Cassandra, I get fired up, you know, and one of the things I'm like an actress, really, because, you know, that was something that I think I wanted to do all when I was little. I remember, you know, as a kid, you know, kind of wanting to do that, but never really pursued it per se. Put it like this. Sometimes there's no best one way to pursue anything. So when I take the stage to speak, that is my, it's just like an actress. It's what's no different, really. I mean, an actress is before an audience. And when I get up to speak, I'm before an audience. It's really not much of a difference. And even people who sing or dancers, again, you're before an audience. It's, to me, it's the same. Some people say, who only sing, oh, I'm not a speaker. Well, maybe not, but it's similar because you're still before an audience and all eyes are on you. And so, I don't sing because for what various reasons. And so, however, I'm still in that same vein. And so, when I'm in front of an audience, I transform. It's like a singer, a person who sings. If you just met them on the street, you may never even know they can sing. You can't look at them. You can't tell. And then when they open their mouth, you're going, oh, my God. You know, it's like, whoa, that came out of you? Well, I'm sort of like that when I'm like, because when I get it before an audience, I transform. I become somebody different, really. I do. People say to me, oh, you know, you don't seem nervous. Well, because when I'm in front of an audience, and it's not a performance per se, but it is of sorts. Because it's the same feeling. I get the same feeling that Beyonce or Michael Jackson gets when they're in front of an audience. I mean, if I was given enough time before an audience, I could probably do a few tricks or so even. I can do a lot of things because that's my time. That's my time is when I'm in front of an audience. And so, and the bigger the better. So at the graduation, Coach Cassandra, you should have, girl, them people didn't know they was at no graduation. Please. They didn't know they was at no graduation. Are you kidding me? These people, afterwards, it was hilarious. I did comedy. I preached. I spoke to the graduates. I had people shouting in the audience, girl. Seriously. Somebody said, amen.
Wow.
Listen, it was like being at a comedy show. They were in the audience cursing. When I said the year I should have graduated school, somebody went, you know, D-A-M, but I'm not going to say it, but they went, dang, real loud. When I put the year, and I mean, it was just those kind of things. I put on my sunglasses. Now, we're in a dark audience. I had a girl. I said, look at my purse. Get my sunglasses. All of this in 25 minutes. I got all that done in 25 minutes, Coach Cassandra.
Wow.
Listen, I had all the graduates stand up, and I had them say something to each other. When I told my sister that, she said, no, you didn't make them go to church. I told them to turn to each other and say, I said, tell the person next to you, I dare you. And because that's what my speech title was, I dare you.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
And I told him.
Can you take a portion of that?
Oh, yeah.
You know, we need to
add
that on Facebook.
Girl, I'm going to try to get a portion. I taped it. I'm going to try to get some portions on it. But some of it, honey, listen, it was only for that.
Even if you could, you know, get it on, you know, 3, 4, 5 minutes here.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm going to do it.
I'm going to do it.
But so people, you know, that's how it is. Everybody has that thing that makes them come alive. Now, I put on Facebook, I said that I was going to explain what an edupreneur is. So for those of you who tuned in, good morning and welcome. I know we've just kind of been kicking it back and forth, telling you about a lot of things. But do you know what an edupreneur is, Cassandra?
Edupreneur?
Yes, edupreneur. Yes, it's a word I made up. You got your authorpreneurs and you got your the different preneur. You got your mompreneur, right? You've heard of those, so this is similar to that. This is the concept. This is an edupreneur. So what happens when you take an educator and you put them and they're an entrepreneur at heart, but they're also in the business of education? Okay. In other words, education is their business.
All right.
And so it's edupreneur. And many people are edupreneurs. So in other words, they're in some type of educational institution or they're in the educational industry. Okay. And because of that, because they're in the educational industry. They're edupreneur. You're still an entrepreneur. See, you can be an entrepreneur and still have those same characteristics of an entrepreneur. So the characteristics of being creative, being a risk taker, being self-nurturing, being innovative, coming up with new ideas, some of the characteristics of entrepreneurship. But you're doing it in the field of education. So it's what happens is when the two loves come together, so you love being in education, but you love being your own boss, or you love being in control of your own destiny, right? And so that's a new term that I put out there. So I just explained that to people. An edupreneur is a person who loves education, but they also love being an entrepreneur. So they love creating, being innovative, being a risk taker, they're self-nurturing, they're self-directed. They don't need someone. Like when you're an entrepreneur, that's one of the characteristics of entrepreneurship is being self-directed. That means you don't need somebody to tell you when to go get new customers. You don't need someone to tell you when to add a new product to your product line. You don't need someone to tell you when to reshape your product mix. That's one of the things that an entrepreneur is very self-directed. But an entrepreneur is also self-nurturing. You know, you don't need someone to pat you on the back when you have wounds. When you have a bad day, you know, you're not ready to throw in the towel. You're not needing a bunch of people to tell you you're so great and you're so wonderful. Self-nurturing means that you know how to encourage yourself. when there's a bad. Like say the stock market falls, or the economy, like right now, the economy is doing bad. Or what, the economy actually is doing good right now. People just, it was doing bad for so long, people really can't feel that it's doing good. Actually, I'm telling you, okay, anyway, just put that out there to people. The economy is doing great, okay? But a lot of people don't feel it yet because it's, you know, it's a ripple, the economy is a ripple effect. So it's going to take a while for everybody to feel it. But you need to know that it's doing good so you can take off your raincoat, put your umbrella up, it's clear day. Go on out there, you know, wash your car, you know, type of thing. Don't keep thinking that, well, I can't do this and I can't do that and I can't do that because the economy is so bad. Well, the economy is good, but everybody can't feel it yet. So entrepreneurs, they know how to encourage themselves. They're self, we call it self-nurturing. They know how to give themselves a high five. You know, they know how to, you know, pump themselves up, you know, pump themselves up so that they can feel good about, you know, what they're doing. Like say you're every entrepreneur is in sales, right? Because you got to either sell your idea, you got to sell your, or you're selling your products or your services, or you're selling something. And so some days you have a day where you may not sell anything, or you may not meet any new people, or you may not, you know, learn anything new that's going to help your business. So, but you got to encourage yourself. You got to nurture yourself to keep going. Some days you want to give up. So these are just some of the basic traits of an entrepreneur. And then, of course, you can be a mompreneur. Those are people who are treating being a mother like a business. Same characteristics. You know, self-nurturing, self-directed. Then you have the entrepreneurs. A lot of people, they start using that term a couple years back. Entrepreneurs, these are people who decided to make writing their business, not just something that they would do as a hobby or because they like it. They actually they have viable businesses with just books. They write books, whether they're audio books or not, that's another thing, but I'm just saying, they've made that their business. That's what they do, okay? They've gone out and they've learned everything it takes to start a business or run a business or be in a business or manage a business, but they do it from the perspective of being an author. And you'll see them on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, all the social media networks, YouTube, Christian Social Network. You'll see them everywhere, and they're promoting their book or they're promoting a seminar about their book. You know, so it's a lot of exciting things you can do, and there's many, 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 many ways you can do it. There's more, as some people say, there's more than one way, and I think I heard you say that today, Cassandra, when we started the show, because of the way all the technology, there's more than one way to skin a cat. Yeah, there's more than one way to get it done. You know, entrepreneur, pretty soon you're going to have radiopreneurs and TVpreneurs. There are going to be people out there. They may not make it on the big networks, but guess what? You don't see today. See, things have flipped. The world really has flipped. Before, it was you had to get on a big network to be noticed or to feel like you had arrived. But today, what people have finally realized is that the big networks started from the little networks. So the little networks have a lot of value, and that's why you had your YouTubes coming out and your other programs like that, so that the people, so you can have a little network. Well, it's not really little, because little is the new big. People don't even want all that. People don't even want all that big stuff no more. See, if you're still all trying to do that, you've already missed it. Why do you think Oprah Winfrey left a major network to start her own network?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. People are doing.
People like Audrey, who believed that she could not only have her own program, but have her own network.
Exactly.
Her
too. Sure.
I went over there. My God, she is banging.
She's banging.
Wow.
And
look
so
at what happened.
So
you
little.
Know, when you can do it.
Little is the new big. Little is the new big.
Okay.
People, IBM, those big companies, if you go to any city Why do you think Michigan is falling apart? Do you go to different cities and states? Listen, them big buildings, a lot of them are empty.
I know. A lot of the malls. Look at the malls.
Look at the malls. Look at the malls. Because people are doing things on their own, into entrepreneurship. It's 75, you know, we've been, when we teach this in our business classes, and we've always known it, the small business was always the largest. 75% of all businesses in the United States have always been the small business. The 75% of all businesses were small businesses. The major corporations only made up 20% of all businesses. Now, yes, they brought in 80% of the revenue, but that's about to flip. That's about to flip. So if you haven't flipped yet, you've heard it right here. You heard it on All About Entrepreneurs. So they got something in the colleges called flipping the classroom. Well, I dare say we're flipping entrepreneurship. We're flipping business. It's not big business. It's little business. See, the big business can't touch the customer like the little business owner can. As a small radio show, you look at the wonderful people we've been able to touch, you know, and meet and talk to offline. You know, if you were a host on a big show like that, you probably wouldn't get to see anybody or talk to anybody until they came out on your stage. And then you'd probably never talk to them again. But in our situation, we get to talk to people before the show, after the show, you know, anytime we want. So if you haven't heard that anywhere, nobody's talking about flipping entrepreneurship. So you heard that right here. Yeah, you got it. It's flipped. It's already flipped. Okay? Everybody's trying to do the little thing, all right? And the colleges are catching on to this. That's why all the colleges now are scrambling to set up entrepreneurial courses. Okay? And And because they know that everybody pretty much probably in the next 10 years, you can watch the
statistics. Oh, the next Bill Gates, the next Oprah Winfrey, you know, because, you know, it goes back to the concept in the Bible. Don't despise small beginnings.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know who might be listening. You don't know who's looking for someone and just to happen to listen to the show and find, you know, something they think is just incredible. You know, you could be the next thing to slice bread if someone happens to get
and you're more, you're right.
You know, wow, what you got is really going on. I need you over here. So we don't know what kind of opportunities are going to come out of this. If we will take what you have, we take what we have as valuable.
How we're going to change the community is that we have to have the smaller entities operating. That's why our communities were failing, because when the big companies opened up and people moved out and went and got those jobs, it left a huge vacuum in the small community. And so we have to fix that, and the only way to fix it is through entrepreneurship. There's no other way. There is no other way. God created Adam and said, listen, take dominion. And what we're understanding is that your dominion is right where you're at.
Hey, that's it. And that's it. It starts with you.
Yes.
Y-O-U.
Yes.
Right.
And we gotta go into our communities. And that's what the drug dealers are trying. All they're saying is, listen, I need to earn a living. And I'm just using what's right around me. So we gotta put something else right around me. We gotta put something else right around them. Put something else in their hands. And say, do this.
Okay.
Something that won't kill off, you know, tens and hundreds and thousands of other people in the process. You know, we just here in New Jersey recently, they just busted somebody with like 6 pounds of methamphetamine. You know how dangerous that stuff is? Right here in New Jersey. Not too far, like 30, not even 30 miles from where I'm sitting right here. Come on, if they could get, and they said it was coming in through the post office, through the postal system, is how they, and it was coming from places like California, Arizona, they named a few other states. This is a big problem. And they said that it was being repackaged to be distributed to the local distributors. That sounds like a business plan to me.
Wow.
I was like, whoa, you know, to the local distributors? Come on, you're talking about a cookie business? What are you talking about? Talking about a shoe distributor? Or are you talking about to the local distributors right here in New Jersey, in the northern New Jersey area? And so, well, thank God they caught them, but that was only 6 pounds.
Boy, oh boy.
Who did they not catch? You know, so we got to get to our youth. We got to get to our people, and we, Coach Cassandra, I just see that, you know what, it's time to really get out here in these communities and get busy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that is, we got to help people find out what they got to do and how they can do it. And again, that graduation, it was an adult graduation. It was an adult night school. And the individuals were from age 18 to 80.
Wow.
And let me tell you, you want to see a graduation. I don't know if you've ever been to one of them adult. This is my first adult night school graduation I've ever attended. And so I had never seen that because when I went back to school, I got a GED and there was no graduation for that. But this particular group of people, they've been doing this for 89 years. This was their 89th graduation. And those people, let me tell you, I've been to a lot of graduations. Girl, they did everything you would do in a regular one, but I mean, you talk about dancing down the aisle and dancing across the stage. Let me tell you, you talking about dancing the jig, doing it, girl. They had me rolling, but you know they were so happy and they were so excited. And so I just said, God, you are awesome, because this is a local community. This is Newark, New Jersey. And these are individuals that are right from around the way. And this is what we need to see. But yet and still, they wanted their, it was important to them to get their high school diploma.
That's a blessing. And start somewhere, you know, start with the basics.
That's it.
Fundamental. You know, and then go on to the next thing.
And look at the impact. And their children were there, their grandchildren. Some of these people had their grandkids there. The young people had their mamas there. Their mamas and daddies were happy for them. One lady got up there and said her mama came all the way from North Carolina.
Wow. What a blessing.
Coach Cassandra, if you've never been to an adult high school graduation, it is mind blowing. And then they've been working on this degree for a few years. I mean, this high school diploma for a few years. And here was the saddest piece, but yet, and they had me as a speaker. That was the funniest thing too. Here's the thing. That was their last graduation. Their closing date. They were told by the superintendent of schools that program was closing after 89 years. And I didn't know it until I had finished speaking, and I went to hug the principal and say how awesome it was. She said, yeah, but this is the last year. I was like, what?
Why? Isn't the name still just as great?
It felt great that it was, that I was able to share on the last one. But I'm glad they didn't tell me beforehand, Coach Cassandra. Girl, I probably would have talked for 2 more whole hours. I would have been trying to get it in. But no.
Wow.
But no, it was their last one. I said, there's no way this thing can end.
These people are the...
Are they moving to another location? Someone else is taking over? I mean, the need for people to get their diplomas and GED is still just as prevalent.
Well, you could still get... You can still get your GED and what have you, but that high school diploma, you know, for some people, they still want that. You can always get your GED, but some people just, they still want that high school thing. They want that, they want it to say high, because, you know, when you get your GED, it says on it, it says GED on it, which is what I have. It doesn't stop you, because I went to every college everybody else went to and got jobs.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
It doesn't stop you from nothing. I got jobs at Continental. I went into the Navy. I'm working where I'm working. It doesn't stop you from doing anything, the GED. But some people, for whatever reason, like some people like Coke and some like Sprite, some, it's still soda, it's all bad for you, but some people just like what they like, and some people just want that thing to say high school diploma. And that's great, and that was wonderful.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're not stopping the GED. You can go get your GED. That's through the Board of Ed as well. It's like having two different types of programs. That's all.
Oh, I got you. I got you. You're absolutely right. My sister went back and got her GED and, you know, went on to get her, you know, college degree. So you're right. It doesn't stop you from anything. So that definitely is a blessing.
Yeah, and you don't even have to. I know when I was doing human resources and what have you, you don't even, when you have a GED, you don't even have to say GED. You can say graduated, because that's why it's called GED. It's the General Education Equivalency Exam. So you can say, you know, general equivalent exam diploma or something is GED stands for. So you can say it is not any type of stigma whatsoever. I only share so people can know the journey of success about it. But it doesn't mean anything negative. But some people just still want that high school diploma. Well, the GED could be harder because, you know, the GED have to do all that work and then have a test at the end. And you have to pass, and it's like an eight-hour test. Well, the night school, you just test along the way like you do regularly in school. You know? So it could be that it's easier for people to get the high school diploma. It takes longer, but it's not the same type of pressure as the GED, right? The GED, you got to do all that work in one day. You got to take that test, which is like a day long.
Right.
But this particular program, the superintendent of schools in Newark. Now there may be other adult night schools in other towns, but this is Newark, New Jersey. So
right.
I'm not, and you know.
Well, of the impact you've had as far as, you know, we know for eternity, where people speak to you that God allowed you to speak into their lives. I think that's what's so, you know, phenomenal. You know, you have no idea of how you have really made an impact on people. I'm sure you're going to hear about it.
Well, wait a minute. It's funny you would say you have no idea, because did I tell you that that's what I told them to say to each other?
No.
After I told them to say, I dare you, I said, now turn to that same person and say to them, you have no idea. Yeah.
Wow.
Because we should be saying that every time we see somebody. When I see you, I should say, you have no idea what God's going to do in your life. Because he said eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard. he said it hasn't even entered into the heart yet.
Wow.
You have no idea.
So, Chuck, I'm happy to do my little exit strategy. I've got to get out of here.
Okay. Well, tell everybody what kind of day to have. Tell everybody what kind of day to have, and we're out.
I would like you to have a super califragilistic, extravagant day, baby. Go out there and make something happen. Call somebody. Do something. Do some research. Find out what it is that you're called to be. And make a difference in the community that you live in, because you decide. decided to do something different. You decided to do something that you've never done before to get the results you've never had before. You know, what do they say insanity is? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, thinking you're going to get different results. No, the only one that's going to get different results, you've got to do something different. Take a class. Get a mentor. Do something to help you get close to the thing that you believe you're positive in the world. And so with that, we applaud your efforts to go forth and to make a difference. And back to you, Coach Lalisa.
Awesome. Thank you. And I know Coach Cassandra has to run, so we appreciate you. Have a great day. And we'll just, I just have a few more things to update you on. And I just, yes.
I'm going to talk to you soon, Coach.
All right. All right. And so that's Coach Cassandra. She had to go, but we're still not able to get live until I can open up your phone lines. But definitely be looking for us to come to a city near you where we will be teaching people how to do some things as it relates to being an entrepreneur, an edupreneur. And so you'll hear more about that. You'll hear me talk more about that, some of the activities that we're doing for entrepreneurs. We have coachpreneurs. So we're going to have basically mogulpreneurs, where we're in multiple businesses. You have your serial, you have your, well, you've heard of the serial entrepreneur. And so the serial entrepreneur is an entrepreneur that is basically has their hands in several different entrepreneurial endeavors, entrepreneurial adventures. And so when I initially took the job, I had no idea that I would become an edupreneur. And then God just dropped it in my spirit yesterday, and I was like, wow. You know, that's incredible. So if you are definitely in the New Jersey area, if you're in the New Jersey area, please, please inbox me so we can, you know, connect. I'm looking to put together a live event, just something small. We can meet up at the Applebee's. We can start meeting up because I've already spoken to them. And they have agreed to allow me to come there. Well, they can't stop anybody from coming there, but I did tell the person that I wanted to do something with entrepreneurs, and we were meeting at the Applebee's in Newark. A couple times we met there, our Women Leaders and Entrepreneurs Club. We were meeting at the Applebee's Entrepreneurs. But I think I'm going to move to this Applebee's over here in Union, New Jersey, and we're going to start doing a little meetup there. In the afternoons on a Friday afternoons, we're going to do a little luncheon at Applebee's for the next several Fridays. So it'll be a few Fridays, and I'll put the dates out on Facebook for those that are entrepreneurs who are free that can come. We'll meet at Applebee's, and you know, we'll grab some lunch and we'll do some brainstorming for our businesses and do some masterminding for our businesses. So everyone have a great and wonderful weekend. Power up your weekend. Have a powerful weekend. I'll see you somewhere, I'm sure, on Facebook or some other social network, on the Christian social network. Thank you, David Knight, for the Miracle Monday. Get ready for Miracle Monday. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Be there or be square. And don't forget, it's all about entrepreneurs. Go out, have a great day, have a great weekend, and we'll see you again. God willing, we'll see you again. We'll meet again. Have a wonderful day. We love you. Thank you for tuning in. Be phenomenal. Be awesome. Be amazing. But at the end of the day, make sure to be you. You got to be you. Be who you are. God bless.